Open tonight. Come on, open them up to Romans chapter 8. Title of the message tonight, and I'm not going to get through all of this tonight, so I'm not even going to try. Well, I am going to try, but I'm not going to get through it, I can tell you right now. Romans chapter 8. The title of the message tonight is a co-witness. We've been talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, and this is, well, let's see, I don't know, fourth or fifth now. I didn't count them, and I haven't been actually putting numbers on them in that respect. But we have been talking about being led by the Spirit. Last week, we talked about the obvious thing to do is not always the thing to do. Remember? It's not always the most obvious thing. We looked at Martha and Mary and how Martha got pretty steamed about Jesus just going on and not telling Mary that she should get in there and help her. And basically, the inference was, it's so obvious, you should tell her. She basically told Jesus, you need to tell her, here's what you need to do, interrupts his ministry and tells him, here's what you need to do, Jesus. Tell her that she needs to get in there and help me, because it's so obvious, and obviously you are caught up in your message and you are not seeing it either, so I'm going to have to get in here and straighten everything up. And Martha was a good woman, but Jesus does not apologize, and he does not tell Mary to get in there, does he? You remember that? He did not do that. In fact, he said Mary chose something that is the greater of these two things. And Martha could have saved herself a lot of trouble had she just asked Jesus if he even wanted her to make a meal. She's frustrated and frustrated and angered and steamed and ticked off and whatever other adjectives you want to use to describe how she was feeling. So tonight, Romans chapter 8, we're going to talk about a co-witness. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 14. This has been a foundation throughout most of the messages. Verse 14 reads, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." I love that. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself or himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Of God. Now, you know, we've been talking about being Spirit-led, and so as a minister, I have to practice what I preach. Really, I preach what I practice, and it's a lot easier to preach what you practice than to try to practice what you preach, okay? We've always heard it that way. Well, practice what you preach. Why not preach what you practice? Well, I might not have any messages. Well, that says something. No, I would say that you preach out of the overflow. And that's a really a good thing in a minister's life, is to be practicing these things in his or her own life and then preach that. It flows a lot easier. And, you know, so if we're going to talk about being Spirit-led, then we need to be Spirit-led, not head-led, not note-led, okay? I have notes, and I have this. You know, and I got this really nice leather deal that I had, and it's got my name embossed in it and all that. And this was handmade. A guy did it, and he blessed me from the guy that I bought it from, but he gave me a really nice deal. Very, very nicely made. And it's packed, chalked with notes, sermons, a lot of notes, a lot of hours, a lot of time, a lot of study, a lot of prayer. But if I'm married to my notes, now I'm being led by my notes and my preparation. Well, why have notes, Pastor Dan? Well, you put notes down as the Spirit of God leads you. But what we have to do is we have to be flexible. We have to be ready to go another direction at the drop of a hat. If the Spirit of God says, don't go there, go over here. Here's a verse. I've had him drop verses in me that totally were not in the notes. And you've heard me say that, and you know that that's true. But we as ministers have to be flexible, ready to go in one direction or the other, and stay flexible before him. Now, there are many ways to be led by things other than the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us to be led by the Spirit, And trust me, I'm not coming down on taking notes or having notes when you preach, okay? Just those of you that minister, hear me. Because moi has a bunch of notes. But learning how to flow with those notes, you need to let the Holy Spirit minister through you and use the notes. There are times, and Ann can attest to this, where I will put down, I mean, I'll spend, you know, like on last Sunday, I had, probably 5 pages of these small pages. Now, they're small pages of notes, but I've learned how to condense things in little key words that I'll put down, and I color code things. I have a method, you know. But still, most of the time when I'm ministering, I glance at the notes. I may read a thing or two, but I let the Holy Spirit lead me on how to deliver it to you. Because you can have a lot of information, and if it's not delivered in the way that the Holy Spirit wants it delivered, the ears don't get it. The hearts never are ministered to. So we need to be flexible in that. I've spoken a lot of times, preached a lot of messages through the years, and being concise and knowing how to introduce something and support it and tie it together and bring a conclusion, that's something the Holy Spirit wants to do. If people leave out and they go, well, that was nice, well, that was good, but what did he say or what did she say? Then that's why I always go back and listen, because I want to make sure that I'm getting the points across. Now, tonight we're talking about a co-witness, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But there are many ways to be led by things other than the Holy Spirit. We are told here in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God or the children of God. So we are supposed to be being led by the Holy Spirit. A person who doesn't know how to be led by the Holy Spirit, let's say it this way, a minister who doesn't know how to be led by the Holy Spirit in his or her life is like a doctor who never went to medical school, going to operate on you. Well, I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, you know. You remember the commercials. How foolish. The believers need to learn how to hear from the Holy Spirit. Believers need to know how to be led by the Holy Spirit and how to stay flexible before Him and know what this co-witness thing is about. This is very, very important tonight. You may not have heard it put that way before. I'm sure you will get the concept and already have many have the concept already, but it's worded a little bit differently, and I'll bring that to you in a moment. Here in verse 15, he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So here he is bringing out the contrasting spirit that so many people are led by in their lives, and that is a spirit of fear or timidity or, you know, unsureness, if you will. They're not sure of this, that, or the other, and they go back and forth and waver between two things that they are trying to decide on something. They're not really sure, and then they get scared. Did I make the right decision? Am I not making it? I don't know what to do. Blah, blah, blah. You've heard it. You may have acted in that already, and I'm not saying any of us haven't to one degree or another. We need to be very much aware that the spirit of fear is not from God. So this contrasting spirit is one that a lot of people yield to. But the only way, listen to me, the only way to always be right, you say, you always are right. I'll tell you when I'm always right is when I do what the Holy Spirit says and I'm led of the Holy Spirit. When you're led of the Holy Spirit, you're right. Okay? It doesn't mean that didn't originate with me. It didn't originate with you. It originated with Him who's always right. And if He tells us to do something and we're led by that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we're not being motivated by fear and we're not being led by our head, and I mean our head, not the head of the body who is Christ, but I mean being led by our own understanding and all that. If we're not doing all those things and we're letting the Holy Spirit lead us, we'll always be in the right place at the right time. We'll always end up being right, if you will. So that's a way to know that. Now, the Holy Spirit is abiding within you as a child of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do you know he already said in his word? The Lord has already told us, I will never leave you and never forsake you. That's in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. I'll never leave you. Now, how many of y'all know that we should never pray, God be with us? Right? That's the old religious prayer. You're right, we're going to go on a trip. Oh, Lord, be with us when we go on this trip. Get a clue. I'll say that, you know, it's like, come on, he already said he'd never leave you. Do you believe him or don't you? Are you calling him a liar that he has somehow left you? Well, sometimes I don't feel his presence. Well, wait a minute. Sometimes, you know, the people say that, and I don't feel, well, he already said he wouldn't leave you. It's just like that poem that was written. What was it called? The footprints thing? You know, it felt like you left me. Well, why are there only one set of prints? Because that's the time I was carrying you, and you thought I left? I already told you I won't leave you. And I'm telling you, he's good for his word. Amen? Come on, it's the truth. Now, he's with us 24 hours a day. And so consequently, when he speaks to us, it won't feel or bring a strange, weird feeling to us. See that verse number 15? Look at the end of it. Well, we read the first part. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear or weirdness, if you will. He's not, when he ministers to his kids, it does not feel strange. It does not feel weird. It does not feel, foreign to us. Look at this. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, you know Abba, Father, you know, that literally means daddy, right? Okay, it's a close-ness, and it literally implies the child to the parent relationship. Now, here's the thing about that, and that you need to derive from that. The Holy Spirit, when he's speaking to you, it will never feel weird. It will feel like home. Do you hear me? He's, as the Bible says, as close as the mention of his name. Jesus said in John 10 that my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they're not going to follow. So when you are praying and you hear something and you think, you know, that sounds strange, and there's no real peace accompanying it, that's a surefire sign that it's not the Holy Spirit. It shouldn't feel strange to you. It may surprise you when the Holy Spirit speaks, but it shouldn't feel strange, like, ooh, there's just something weird about that, okay? Because he abides in you, and believe it or not, in time, you will get to know his voice better than you even realize that you know. And that comes through some quiet time before him. The Holy Spirit is our heavenly gift. And a lot of Christians don't realize this, but the fact is we're better off than those 12 disciples who walked with Jesus, sat down and ate with Jesus, touched him, walked around with him, sat down with him. I mean, we are better off because the Lord even said that. It's better for you if I leave and send my spirit. It's better. Okay, if there's 12 people around Jesus, and there's John over there talking to Jesus, and he's in conversation with Jesus, now you have to wait, Jim, because John's talking to him. Sharon, now time now. Now James wants to talk, and you want to talk, but he got there before you. Jesus was just one person in the earth. Yes, he's moved and touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Of course he is. But as believers now, with his spirit abiding on the inside of us, he's in everyone who invites him in. And you don't have to wait on Jerry to finish her prayer request for Elnora to submit a prayer request and have a conversation. Eva doesn't have to wait on David. David doesn't have to wait on Chris, and the list goes on. We're all talking to him at the same time. And guess what? He understands it, and he ministers, and he has wisdom beyond our scope. So, I mean, my goodness sakes, we are in so much better shape, really, than the disciples were. Now, after Jesus died and rose up from the dead and they received him and believed on him, of course, then all the same thing applied. And we see the works that the disciples walked in, Peter and Paul and James and John, the other disciples. I mean, God used these men and women. And there are a lot of women used of the Lord in the Bible. I just name men, of course, there, but ladies are, man, God has used women powerfully in the Word of God. Now, so if the enemy tries to lead us, it should feel strange to us. There should be something about it. There's no peace there. It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't seem right. Have you ever been in a situation where, there's like pressure on you to make a decision? You ever gone looking at a car and a guy says, oh, here, I can do this for you. I can do this for you. I can do this for you. And oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. And you're looking at it and you're smelling it and it smells good. That new car smell. And I'll do this deal for you, but I'm only going to do it now. If you leave, the deal's off. That's time to say, see ya. You really want my business. We'll work something out. But I don't like to be pushed into a corner to have to make a decision in a hurry like that. And that's pretty much a surefire way to not get by my business when I've gone shopping. And it really irritates me when you go into a furniture store. And there's a couple of big ones down in the city, and over in Tulsa, and I suppose even here. But I'm thinking of one in particular down in the city where we went into it, and, they right away, they're like, I see them all over there talking, they're like piranhas, and something just fell in the water, and here they come. And I understand that they're working on commission and all that. And this guy comes up to me and, here's my card and if I can help you, I'm here to help, And I'm like, okay, let me have your card. Let me see your name. Okay, it's whatever. Okay, got it. Got the face. Okay, we're going to walk now. I don't want to be trailed. Okay, I don't like to be followed around. I don't want somebody breathing down my neck trying to make a sale. You do that, I'm just real straight up with them. I'll just say, if you do that, I won't buy from you. I'll find somebody else. Okay, yes, sir, yes, sir. So we're going around looking at couches and things and walking around. I look and I can see him. He's over there. He's kind of looking around the corner. He's watching me from a distance. He's just looking. He's looking around just in case, I should have said, hey, give me your cell phone number. I'll call you, And, at times we have gone in. That's a neat thing about at least the way I do it. Now, Ann likes to shop. I like to go buy. You know what I'm saying? And men don't say amen too fast, but that's the truth. We hunt and we conquer, and women like to look and look and look and look. I'm like, haven't we looked long enough, sweetie? I know what I want. I'm going in there. I'm going to get it, and I'm out. Take me 10 minutes. Although there are sometimes I like to look at things, but anyway. So, what if somebody prophesies something to you or has a word for you? The Holy Spirit in you should bear witness with the Spirit that's in them, and it ought to mesh together, right? Because if the Holy Spirit's in that person, the Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will bear witness with your spirit. Well, now, wait a minute. That so-and-so, when they prophesied over me and they said this, but you've got questions, something wasn't right. Now, wait a minute. Who are you being led by? You're being led by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, but that person hears from God. Do they always hear from God? And if it didn't bear witness in your spirit, you better not receive it. You need to know if it's the Holy Spirit ministering through that brother or sister, it'll bear witness. In fact, you will have already had that witness come up inside you at some point prior. If it catches you totally by, I didn't know I was supposed to live in Africa. Well, I didn't know it. I didn't know I was supposed to be the pastor of that church. I didn't know it. Wait a minute. That's when you say, okay, hold on a second. All right, you said it. I'll put it on the shelf. It didn't bear witness with me. I'll ask the Lord about it. And I've had that happen before where a person gave a word to me and it's like, that's just not, it's just like somebody just twisted my, you know, like a towel when you wring it out. It's like somebody just twisted something in me. And I'm like, I know the voice of the Lord and that isn't it. Sounded weird, sounded strange, didn't sit well with me. Then other times somebody says something, it's like, oh man, Lord, you, I heard you yesterday morning, and that's exactly what you said to me in my prayer time, or last week, you know. And then in the mouth of two or more, or two or three witnesses, let every word be established, and we need to have confirmation to come. If something is from God, you can ask for that. You say, Lord, I need another witness here, you know. Now, there was a co-witness, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Go and look at Romans, you're in Romans 8. Let's look at verse number 16. Look at it. It says, the Spirit itself or himself, the Spirit of God's not an it. That was the King James translators, okay? It's literally talking about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. You and I are created in the image and likeness. The Greek reads the exact duplication in the respect of how we are made in the image of God. Somebody said, well, God is huge and God sits on a throne and, I mean, the earth is his footstool. That is type and figure, okay? But if you've seen Jesus, Jesus said it himself, you've seen the Father. How long was the span when God put out his hand and measured out the heavens and the earth in the book of Isaiah? Do you realize that it says an 8 3/4 inch span? That's God's hand, 8 3/4 inches, from the tip of his little finger to the tip of his thumb. I will guarantee you, you get to heaven, you ask Jesus, how long is the span on your hand? And he'll tell you it's 8 3/4 inches. Because he and the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father's not this giant, huge. And here's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's like some friendly ghost or something. I mean, no, you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. When you're saved, he enters your life and functions as the Spirit of Christ. And when you're baptized in the Spirit, he begins to function as the Spirit of God. That's Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. But let's go on with this. Look at this right here. The Spirit itself or himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, the witness, the word witness, that is an interesting word right there. He bears witness. Sumar tereo is the Greek word, sumar tereo, and literally it means a co-witness. And let me have my phone right there. Does it say corroborator? I forget the exact. Is that what it said on there? Yeah. To bear witness with, bear joint witness. One other version says co-witness. So I thought, interesting, the co-witness of the Holy Spirit. You need to be, when you're going to make a decision, you need to be looking for a co-witness. If you don't have the co-witness, in other words, the joint witness of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, you're on your own. You get that? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He's a co-witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that witness, that corroborating of the fact that he wants you to do this, I mean, I had that corroboration when I asked Ann to get married. When I knew in my heart I was to marry Ann. It bore witness in my heart, and praise God, it bore witness in her heart. Amen. Now, this is not hearing voices, brothers and sisters. This is a knowing. This is different. We're not talking about you sitting around and hearing voices. Because, you know, the Bible says that the devil comes and will transform himself into an angel of light, right? You need to be sharp and recognize when something sounds strange. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit is bearing witness in you, that co-witness, there is a dovetailing, a meshing, a peace that accompanies that knowing. I don't know why I know that I'm supposed to do this. I just know it. And there's peace. And then what's interesting is the Lord will send people to, on the outer, corroborate what's going on the inside. In other words, he'll send somebody by. I don't know why the Lord's telling me this, but has to do something about, you going to Africa. Does that bear witness? Oh, no, I'm supposed to go to Africa, you know. Well, if the Lord's in it, it won't be, oh, no. It'll be, thank you, Jesus. You are actually putting this thing together. And some of us need more witnesses than others, right? I mean, you need to hear it from 42 people. And the Spirit of God can do that, I know. But we just need to learn to hear his voice and have that co-witness be loud and clear on the inside of us. And I'll tell you this much. You don't want it just to be you. You want the co-witness of the Holy Spirit saying, this is what I want for you. Because if you don't, and the pressure starts to come, and then fear tries to enter in, and all of this stuff starts to happen, you could make a jump into something, buying something, you know, whatever the situation may be, a career change, whatever it is, and jump the gun and miss God. So I think the co-witness is very, very important. I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 3 quickly. We're not going to get halfway through this, but that's okay. The Spirit of God just wanted you to get this tonight about the co-witness. Now, I know that you know you're supposed to let the Holy Spirit bear witness in you, but think of it along the lines of he's going to corroborate. He is going to be that joint witness. He's going to be a co-witness on the inside of you. We're not to be led by the way things appear. We're not to be led by the way things are on the outside. Well, it looks like a great deal. Look at these numbers. They're all falling into place. It's got to be. I've heard that stuff before. And you just go, something's not right about this. Then you come to find out the person's a crook. They would have written you a check that would have bounced from here to the third heaven. Well, not that far, but you know what I'm saying. Proverbs 3, look at verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. We are supposed to do this. You notice that it says, trust in the Lord with all of whose heart? Whose heart? Your heart. This is something you have to do. You need to trust in the Lord. We have to do this. God's not going to do this for you, brothers and sisters. You're going to have to do it. Now, you can ignore him if you want to, but that's really not a smart thing to do. You don't want to be leaning on your own understanding. You want to constantly be going back and going, all right, I want to give the Holy Spirit full place, and I want to give the devil no place. We want to give the Holy Spirit full place and the devil no place. Get behind me, devil, in the name of Jesus. So it's a constant, you know, we're to acknowledge him. Look at verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So are we doing this? We are supposed to acknowledge him in every one of our ways. This is, again, not hearing voices. This is knowing. And the knowing comes as you turn inward and direct your attention to him. That's acknowledging him in all of your ways, not in some of them. And you acknowledge him in a couple of ways, and some of the ways you do on your own, and you'll end up okay. No, you won't. No, you won't. You acknowledge him in all of your ways, and you'll be blessed. If you acknowledge him in part of the ways, the other ways that you don't acknowledge him in are going to be devastating and could get you into serious trouble, even cost you your life. You hear me? Now that's how serious this is about hearing from God. And Christians need to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. So do it. Do it. Start turning your attention more to Him every day. Every day. Now, you don't have to ask Him what shirt to put on in the morning. I mean, he did give you, some common sense. But there may be a day He says, wear that. I've had Him do that to me already. I've laughed at it before, you know, because some people are like, well, I let the Holy Spirit tell me what to wear in the morning. And you're looking, you're going, man, Lord, you got a sense of humor, because the way you dressed Him today, that is ridiculous. Go ahead, stand to your feet. But I will say, all right, Lord, and I walk in, and I just sense in my heart I'm supposed to wear this, and I'll go somewhere, and somebody will say, you know, I love that shirt, and I was just thinking about a shirt I used to have like that, and I just happened to have it on. Isn't that interesting? And it opens a conversation. God can use a piece of clothing to open a conversation with somebody about Him. And He even cares about that. I told you about the tie that the cleaners ruined on me. And it was my favorite tie. I've got a bunch of ties. Okay, I really do. But I only wear a certain number. I guess I really should branch out. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'll bring one that you can wear. You know. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so... Anyway, but I said, Lord, I really like that tie because it reminded me of some heavenly something. I don't know. It really ministered to me when I got it, and they ruined it. And they know I'm a preacher, and I'm always very nice. I've been going there for, gosh, how long? Over 30 years. And they normally do a good job, but they wrecked this one. And I'm like, you know, I was a little miffed at first. And then I got to thinking about it. It's just a tie. I mean, I could say, look, you guys wrecked this. At least give me, $50 credit or something, because I paid about that for it. It was a nice tie. I found the same tie for like a little more than half the money. And the Lord showed me where I could get it. And I got it, and it came in 2 days. And I mean, He cares about little things like that, because I'm the kind of guy, that kind of stuff can get to me if I'm not careful. Not that I'm going to go down there and get mad and give them a piece of my mind. They don't need that. But stuff bugs me, sometimes if I'm like, man, I need to find another one of those. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm the only one like that in this church. All right. Let's bow our heads and go before the Lord tonight. Father, we praise You and bless You and worship You and thank You for the co-witness of Your Holy Spirit in us. And Lord, You care so much about us. You will give us that co-witness, that joint witness. You will, Father, minister on the inside of us where we'll know when we're perfectly lined up with what You want for our lives. I thank You for that. And I thank You for sensitivity of heart in the people that they listen to You closer and closer day after day. In Jesus' name. And continue to study the Word. And continue to read their Bible. Continue to pray, both in their known tongue and in unknown tongues. Father, do all of that as they worship You and live for You. I thank You and praise You that You bring into their lives Your plan. And the completion of that plan for their lives. In Jesus' name, we do agree. And we thank You for it. And praise You, Lord, for that tonight. In Jesus' name. Can you all agree with that? If you do, say amen.